This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The deep freeze around the country, over 100 cities expected to shatter their record lows for the day. We're not among them. We're just, like I just said, 10 degrees. So it's the coldest, though, overall it's been in a decade here in Pittsburgh. We'll keep you posted. Little snow coming our way overnight into tomorrow. After the flurry of executive orders by President Trump, there have been a flurry of lawsuits to follow. And Monday of this week, Judge Randall Moss, the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, for groups trying to block the Department of Government Efficiency from gaining access to data from the Department of Education on student borrowers, the judge found in his ruling that the University of California Student Union Association failed to show sufficient irreparable harm to receive such immediate relief. And so it goes. U.S. District Judge John Bates rejected a request to block DOGE from accessing records of three government agencies, writing in the opinion, have not shown a substantial likelihood that DOGE is not an agency. And so it goes. Joining us from the University of Pittsburgh, David Harris, from the Sally Ann Semenko Endowed Chair, a professor of law. Professor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
This is your world. We need your help to sort through all of this processing. And I'm just going to start with saying, for those of us just hearing, okay, executive order challenged in the court, and now we're starting to see some of these rulings, hard to sort through. What's the process of trying to challenge an executive order, if you did, in a legal sense?
Sure. It is a lot to process. It's a lot to understand. First off, let's just back up and take the big view. We have three branches of government, of course. We have the legislative branch, and in this case, the Congress, that makes the law. We have the judiciary, which interprets the law, the Supreme Court and all the judges. And then we have the executive branch that executes the law, carries it out. And this has been the case with us since we were created as a nation. And it was a deliberate design. It was the idea was to separate the powers of government into three branches. They would check each other, our famous system of checks and balances. And it's really worked for us for literally hundreds of years. And the current president is not the first to use executive orders. Even George Washington used executive orders. What they are is simply the executive, the president, telling people in the executive branch what they shall do. And so when an executive order goes out, say to the Department of Education or to the National Institutes of Health, the president is ordering that certain things be done. What's happening now, Larry, is that this president, the current president, is throwing out executive orders sometimes as a way to get some particular thing done to stop a certain kind of a program in government, something like that. But in other respects, the bigger project is to push the limits of executive authority, to find the furthest limits of what the president can do without any interference from anybody else, because an executive order does not require the say-so of Congress or anything else. And so they are seeking to find just as far as they can go, as far out as they can go with pure executive power. It's an effort to show and exhibit and use all the power the president can find and all the power that the other branches will give up to him. And that's the larger project now. And when we see, say, the executive order on birthright citizenship, well, that's not something that the president controls. And so one of the biggest arguments will be, how does the president issue an order and that changes the Constitution? The idea there is to get that case in front of the Supreme Court and vindicate the president's view. Again, they're just pushing out the limits, the outer limits of the power of the executive. So what happens in response is a whole bunch of people, state attorney generals, individuals affected by those executive orders, they begin to sue, and the lawsuits go up through the court system, and that's where the issue will be resolved.
Are any of these earmarked for the Supreme Court, do you believe, at some point, because they're going to appeal at one level to go to the next?
Oh yeah. That's exactly the goal with some of them. I mentioned birthright citizenship. That is clearly destined for the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take it. They could just say, no, we're not going to take that case, and then the law as it is will stand. But things, for instance, like the federal freeze on all federal spending, we remember that from just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Money is controlled by the Congress. Money is appropriated by the Congress. Agencies are created by the Congress and funded by the Congress. So when the president is saying, effectively, we don't want USAID, and the agency is basically destroyed, that's something you would think that would have to come from Congress. When the president is saying through an executive order, all federal spending will now stop while we do A, B, or C, that's something that should come from the Congress. So again, it's a pushing out against the other branches of government that should be checking the executive authority. The president is attempting to establish the most powerful presidency in our history, and those things will have to go up to the Supreme Court, the ones that really count.
And three of the members seated on the bench in the Supreme Court were handpicked by Donald Trump in his first 4 years. That's where with Pitt Law Professor Dave Harris, the lower end of this, obviously, anytime people's financial future is directly involved, which in many cases is the situation now, does the president have the power just to change, like the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and something that it's existed for 400 years? What do you think the motivation is there?
I don't know what the motivation is for Gulf of America. I saw that on Saturday Night Live. Steve Martin called it the Gulf of Steve Martin.
I saw
like that.
I did see that.
This is one of the more trivial examples of things that the president's doing. But for instance, when he fires a whole bunch of people who have worked in the federal government, have their pensions vested, when he proclaims through an executive order that, well, these people aren't covered by civil service, so I can replace them. These things really do matter to individuals. I mean, those are people's livings, their lives, where they put themselves down with their families on the map. So this is not only big picture, the things I was describing before, it really impacts individuals. And we will see, mark my words, we will see at some point in the near future, after all these firings take place and people have walked away from these federal jobs, and you know, even if the courts decide in their favor, it's kind of too late. They're already employed somewhere else. We'll see things like folks not being able to get a passport or their Social Security check or the things that become very important to individuals. And there's where the rubber's really going to meet the road in a certain respect for the public. As the cases churn on through the legal system, it's easy to, you know, get lost in the morass and, you know, sort of forget exactly what the details are. But that is the struggle over power at the highest level of government. And Congress is just really laying down. I mean, the Congress could push back on this. They could say, wait a minute, it's our power of the purse in the Constitution. The money comes from us. You can't decide whether or not to spend that money. That was an issue under the Nixon presidency, too. So this is a power game in the big sense, and it will affect individual people.
Bit Law Professor Dave Harris, appreciate your time and expertise to be continued. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
When the weather turns bad, and kind of getting used to that these last few weeks, tune in to KDKA Radio for up-to-the-minute news, weather, and traffic info. KDKA Radio Storm Center brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van, by McVeigh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and Butler Transit Authority. So last night, Aaron, I went to the Pitt basketball game at the Pete against Syracuse, and it was kind of fun to look across the court and see the governor, Josh Shapiro, seated between Bill Hillgrove and Curtis Akin. Bill, obviously the Hall of Fame voice of the Panthers hoops team the last 56 seasons. And Curtis Akin, former Pitt star, and obviously he's been the color analyst and has been for a while. He used to work with Dick Grote. So right in between, there's the governor.
I love whenever, you know, big public figures who are doing a lot in our region, in our area for several, you know, they come and they come local and they're like, yeah, I'm just an everyday kind of guy also.
And as Rich Fitzgerald told me, because he knows the governor very well, said that Josh Shapiro was a high school basketball star, point guard.
Hidden passion of his.
And he knows the biz. And this was his last minute of the first half. He did the entire first half with Hillgrove and Curtis Akin.
But I like to see them get out in transition. Shots don't always fall from the perimeter. You have to create opportunities by getting into the paint, pocket passes, setting your guys up in different spots of the floor, and try, instead of trying to do everything, break guys down and do a one-on-one.
I think that's exactly right. We've been doing a lot of one-on-one, a lot of dribble handoffs outside the three-point arc. Not a whole lot of kicking it in and then kicking it back out for any open looks. Pitt's got to make that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
That correction.
Yeah, that's
Governor, you have graced us with your presence and your knowledge. You're welcome back anytime to be a guest commentator.
Hey, I got to tell you, this is a lot of fun. You guys are the best. Thanks for letting me join you.
Wow.
Imagine a breath of fresh air that was for him.
Yeah, in the gravity of, you know, daily 24/7 job like being the governor of
right.
major state. Be nice just to let your hair down and relax.
100%.
And just chill.
It's like the equivalent of, you know, like the judges on The Voice, even though this is way less as far as stress goes. And then they have a night where they perform. Everybody needs a chance to just kind of relax here and there.
He had a blast and sound like they had a lot of fun. And by the way, Pitt rallied in the second half and beat Syracuse 80-69 after trailing most of the game. Speaking of sports, I know your husband's a big sports fan. Tomorrow night, the Canadians will play in Boston Garden against the USA for this championship game for the Four Nations Hockey Tournament.
Oh, yes. Who are you rooting for, Larry?
USA.
Of course. So I just have to say, the fights that happened at the last face-off between those two, Vinny ends the night and goes, I didn't even care that Sydney played for Canada. I was so happy that we beat them.
That's how it goes. No, you know? I certainly don't want anything bad to happen to our captain.
Absolutely not.
But the USA made a big statement, and guess what? Canada's going to want to, you know, get their revenge. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, by the way, USA and Canada in the Garden in Boston, which is a great venue. We were up there when Pitt played Boston College. Our leader, PJ, and I and some team members went to the Penguins game. They happened to coincidentally be playing the Bruins that Friday night.
So every time cool. I go to a Penguins game, I feel like they're playing the Bruins. Every time.
Same colors.
Yes.
Coming up, Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. This is Larry Richard, the Big K Morning Show. And we welcome Rabbi Yisrael Altin from right here in Pittsburgh in the Squirrel Hill area. Rabbi, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm cold. Could be a little warmer, to be honest.
I'm with you on that.
A gathering last night in the Squirrel Hill Community Center calling for the safe return of hostages being held in Gaza. What is the direct connection with our community here and what's going on there in the Middle East?
So first of all, it was a very beautiful gathering of people from all over from the entire community that was there, sharing both prayers and, words of inspiration and encouragement. The connection to what's going on in Israel, I think, is a threefold. First of all, this is from the Jewish community, and obviously Israel is a Jewish country. That's where it's our brethren that are going through this difficult situation there. Second, there's a nice group of Israeli immigrants here in the community that are a big part of this gathering. But I think there's a third element which a lot of people are missing, and especially people listening in the show. I hope they can appreciate this, that there are also Americans that are being held hostage today. And I think that gets lost in the coverage in our country. This is an issue that directly, even if someone for whatever reason doesn't feel their connection to Israel doesn't understand how it affects us, me living in Pittsburgh, what I need to do with the Middle East. We have fellow Americans that are being held hostage, too, and I think that's an important element that has to be emphasized here for those that don't feel a natural connection to Israel, as I would as a Jew.
Rabbi, I'm curious to know if you know how many Americans are still being held, and are there any direct connections between those who have been held as a group representing all and the Squirrel Hill community, and specifically the Israeli expatriates?
So last night, the numbers keep on changing because thank God some of the hostages are coming out. They know, one of the recent hostages that were released was an American, Keith Siegel. So I don't know what the number, last night they said five. So I'm just going off what they said yesterday. So I didn't do my own research on that. But there's that was the number of Americans that they mentioned yesterday that are still in captivity. And in terms of the personal connections, there's yesterday, one of the speakers is a young Israeli, he's not an expat. He's here on a doing some community work for a year. But he spoke about one of the hostages, which is a family friend. So there's, the community is always small, which means that, there's always just a couple degrees between people who know people who know people that are directly engaged. So I think that for a lot of people, this does hit a very personal, incident where if they don't know the person directly, indirectly, a lot of the people in the community have visited Israel and then visited families of hostages. So they have feel a direct connection as meeting them, if not prior to this war, since.
We're with Rabbi Yisrael Altin. And Rabbi, as you know more acutely than certainly I would, the tensions, even in this town, at times with protests, have we seen some of that ratchet down, or are you still feeling that?
I do feel that that it's gone down a little bit, although I did see that yesterday in New York City, out of all places, there was a, counter-protest that turned violent against the Jewish people there. So I think, unfortunately, it's even if it's gone down a little bit, I think we still have this issue to be dealt with. And I think it's important that community leaders help the community understand that people protesting and supporting Hamas are people supporting terrorists. And that is, you could agree or disagree with everything that Israel does, but supporting terrorists, I think, should be, first of all, clearly identified as such. Not hiding behind any, niceties of what people are concerned of. Support of Hamas, the support of terrorism, and the people should understand that.
Rabbi, what is next for your community? Do you have anything planned?
So we are, we continue to, in terms of Israel, we continue to pray that the rest of the hostages that are there come out and come out right. We are coming into one of the most joyous holidays on the Jewish community is just a month away, called Purim, in which we celebrate the defeat of one of the greatest anti-Semites at the time, named Haman, the story of Purim. And we hope that as we prepare for this holiday, by the time that holiday comes around, we'll be able to celebrate a modern Purim story where we would have defeated the Hamans of our time.
Rabbi, we appreciate your time and reflection with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. And may we together pray for peace, see the return of all of the hostages, and real secure peace in the Middle East.
Rabbi Yisrael Altin on the Big K Morning Show. Don't forget, you can watch the radio. Our guests and our hosts are on a live stream. And you can do that easy by going to kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. And when we have guests on, even when they're not here, you can see them through our system. It's pretty amazing technology, Paul, when you consider where radios come from here in Pittsburgh.
When you got started in the business all those years ago, did you imagine that we would be doing this, streaming live with video?
No.
I didn't.
No, we used to have, when I first got to KDK, we had turntables. We were still playing music then. And
right.
Then you know, the next round of technology took over, where they have these like 8-track tapes. If people remember those were cartridges where we would put all our music and commercials. Now it's all in a software package in a central computer, and it's computerized and so on. So you got to learn to kind of roll with technology.
It's been quite a ride watching it all change.
Yeah. Now, it would be fun to bring back, you know, somebody from back in the day. Can you imagine?
Right.
No.
How much different it all is, but I like what they've done with the technology. It made my job a whole lot easier. I'm able to get a lot more done.
Yeah, and the fact that your phone is this computer that's exponentially more powerful than all the computing power on the first space shots, you know, the moon landing. In the command module, they did not have a fraction of the technology that is on your smartphone.
Hey, by the way, if you want to complain about the cold, I just found something that kind of takes the edge off of it. So they got to put a snow in Missouri yesterday, apparently. And today, there'll be snow and ice across parts of the south, the southeast, and the mid-Atlantic, which means basically we're sitting out another bad one.
Oh, we're missing in terms of the active weather portion of this.
Yeah, right.
We're certainly getting the cold, but we're not getting hammered like so many other places. And nearly 80 million people from your home state in Montana to the Texas border are under extreme cold advisories and warnings. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We're going to be setting over 100 cold temperature records today and tomorrow. For tomorrow morning, it is an incredible breath of cold air. You're going to be seeing a wake-up temperature in San Antonio of just 22 degrees, Oklahoma City and Tulsa below zero, Kansas City at minus 13.
Minus 13. That's the actual temperature. Not a real feel or wind chill.
They're not used to that at all.
No. Down there in Texas.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.